Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, we catch up with the effort in the state legislature to change how Michigan health officials are rationing scarce doses of COVID-19 vaccines. That's later in the show. But first, hard conversations are continuing all over Michigan and the country about how we can move forward from divided politics and increasingly divided realities. For some people, the answer is doubling down. Cass County's Republican Party voted again this week to censure Republican Congressman Fred Upton, this time for voting to remove QAnon-believing Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee assignments. Fred Upton had previously been censured by party members for voting to impeach then-President Donald Trump. But Upton stands by his votes, and he's here today to tell us about it. Fred, welcome back to Stateside.
Well, good to be with you. And as the Republican co-chair of the caucus, appreciate all that you do, and it's good to be with you again.
I want to start with something that you said on Twitter. You took particular exception with the Cass County Party for siding with a woman who has called school shootings a hoax and who's verbally attacked young survivors of those shootings. And in doing so, you mentioned that as a member of Congress, you have met with school shooting survivors and that you couldn't imagine supporting someone to sit on the education committee who might go after those students. Would you tell us a little more about your experience meeting with those kids?
Yeah, well, you know, I once served on the education committee back in the 90s. Until COVID, I made a practice of visiting a school literally every week that I've been in office. So all levels, from colleges to grade schools to middle schools, just engaging with students, reminding myself that when I was a student, I never had a legislator come to my class. And so I do that. And I can remember as a member of the education committee when the Columbine survivors came. And they talked about that terrible day. And, you know, as I think back of my days in school, you know, we had fire drills. The day before Parkland, I was at the Portage Central High School speaking to about 400 kids, and they had a live shooter drill. Things that you never want to see happen, either as a parent or a student. You know that kids can't learn if they're in an unsafe environment. They've got to be safe. And we saw that firsthand when I engaged with the Columbine kids. But since then, I met with kids and family members from Sandy Hook, as well as Parkland. So that Parkland event came, and I met with the father of a young boy that was young man that was killed there, but some of the students as well. And what we saw with my colleague Green before she was in office, but she actually went at, and she was had been a teacher. She actually accosted this young man who was talking about gun safety and school safety when he was here in Washington. And she chased him. It was on video. She even reminded him that she had a concealed weapon permit and I think had a gun on her at the same time. You don't do that. That's just wrong. And so I was one that said she really shouldn't serve on the education committee. It wasn't only that issue, but it was issues that she called 9/11, September 11th, a hoax. She was blaming the California wildfires on the Jewish lasers that were sent out. I mean, just a whole number of different things that just didn't make a lot of sense. And I voted with the majority of the House to say, you know what, you need to find a different committee to serve on and stripped her from that. But I don't have any second thoughts about it. You know, when Cass County, and we did, I'll confess, we didn't know that they were going to do this resolution earlier this week. And we did put out a tweet. Maybe you'll read it later on. It's not that long. People can find it. We had just in the first 15, 17 hours when we put it out, 35,000 likes in terms of agreements, in terms of what we did on Twitter. So it's just, you know, it's a crazy time, that's for sure.
I understand what you're saying, that you stand by your votes, but does it land a bit harshly to be censured by local representatives of the Republican Party?
Well, you know, I'll confess it's unfortunate. That's for sure. And again, we had no advance notice. So I had, you know, no one there to speak up for me. No one, you know, didn't answer any questions. I mean, we did a statement, I know, at the time. But, you know, I'm a dad. I'm actually now a granddad. I'm proud of that. And even though I've not been in a schoolroom now for a year, I'll say this. Right after Parkland, remember, I had been at Portage Central High School the day before. The next week, I came back, and Debbie Dingell came with me, and we talked about gun safety. And I went to her district as well. And we talked with kids, we talked with law enforcement, we talked with school superintendents. What can we do to try and make sure that schools are more safe? And actually, Debbie and I, along with some others, co-sponsored bipartisan legislation called Red Flag Laws. And the Red Flag Law, the number of states have it. This was to make it a national one. It didn't come up in the Congress. It may come up this year. But the red flag laws allow law enforcement, when they get tipped off about an individual who may be making threats or maybe who has, particularly with weapons, allows them to come in, retrieve the weapon. There's due process. That's important. There's an appeal process where they can go to with a limited time to go before a judge to make their case. But it's been used in a number of states. And had it been in place in Parkland, Florida, that young man never would have gotten that far. He never would have had the guns to go do the damage that he did to that community. And since Parkland, Governor signed that bill into law, we all know he's a pretty conservative Republican, as Mike Pence had that same law when he was governor of Indiana. So, you know, common sense gun legislation is important, and I would have been glad to talk about that before my folks in Cass County. But again, we didn't have the opportunity. We learned about it after the fact.
You, of course, aren't the only one who has heard from a local GOP chapter about, in their view, not being conservative enough. Congressman Peter Meyer has also taken some heat for his vote to impeach President Trump over the insurrection on January 6th. What do these censures tell us about the state of the Republican Party? I mean, is this a statement of the will of Republican voters, or do you see party leaders being misaligned?
Well, you have to remember, on the impeachment vote, it was always viewed as a vote of conscience. Wasn't whipped by our leadership. And, you know, for me, I wanted to tell the truth. I saw it firsthand. I was not in the House chamber when the insurrection came. I had been in the Capitol and in the House chamber earlier that day, and obviously was there later when Congress reconvened. But my office is across the street, and I have a balcony. And I watched firsthand as folks walked down the ellipse and then came back. You could hear the violence. You could smell the tear gas. You heard the flash bangs. And afterwards, talked to my colleagues who were in the chamber and talked to the law enforcement folks. We actually have a Capitol Hill police officer from my home community, and I've spent some time with them. Tonight, again, I'll be with my Michigan National Guard, who are still patrolling here. I think there's hundreds of Michigan Guardsmen that are here trying to make sure that the Capitol is safe. And I drove through the barbed wire fencing this morning to get in to vote as we're in session. But, you know, my job is, you know, to tell the truth. And it was a very scary day that day. And what has not at all been discounted was that when Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, called President Trump that afternoon, and he said, call these folks off. You know, the signal was sent to come. Call these folks off. They're breaking into the Capitol. They're doing terrible damage. The president's response from Kevin was, I guess they care more about the election than you did. That story's not been discounted. It was part of the evidence that was presented in the Senate trial. And as one that watched this firsthand, it wasn't the right thing to do. And of course, you'll remember that the president used the words that what he did was, quote, totally appropriate. Well, I disagree. And that's why I sent, you know, we're in essence a grand jury. We thought that the charges, you know, were sincere. The trial with due process would start in the Senate. They had the trial. They had the vote. It's interesting that most of the Senate colleagues who voted for acquittal also were the same ones that voted against calling witnesses. So I guess due process wasn't exactly on the front burner as they thought. But in any case, my job is to tell a lie and to be with the truth. And, you know, from this point on, I'm looking through the windshield, not in the rear mirror. You know, there's a lot of work that we have to do. But based on what I saw firsthand and talked to folks, I thought that the president helped incite the terrible insurgents and tried to overturn the election that, in fact, the voters, all 50 states, concurred with whatever result that they had, including here in Michigan.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said that if Donald Trump is the Republicans' presidential nominee in 2024, that he would support him. I know that you voted for Donald Trump in the last election, if perhaps reluctantly, and before the unwinding of violence on January 6th. And I wanted to ask if you would still support Donald Trump if he's head of the ticket in 2024.
Well, that's a long ways away. I don't know whether he's going to run again or not. I did support Trump, did vote for him, did support him in the election, and said so publicly. But it's 2024. There's a long way to go before we get to that point.
Congressman Fred Upton coming to us from his office in Washington, D.C. Fred, it's good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Next up, the wider world awakes to how Olympic gymnastics coach John Gettert treated athletes. Some truths that elite gymnasts already know.
Women who, you know, said they attempted their own suicides because of the treatment they received under him. A lot of guilty weight shaming, you know, physically abusing some of these women is what's accused here, headbutting them, tossing them against walls. Some really nasty stuff that took a long time to sort out.
We have more on Gettert and his apparent death by suicide in just a moment. Stay with us.